Welcome to episode 76 of the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews Podcast. It's Tuesday the 13th of September. You are listening to two grown men talking shit about movies while also endeavoring to make the occasional fart joke. My name is Wayne.
My name is Paul. There'll be no fart jokes from me today.
I'm going to try and put one in.
But there may be plenty of dick-related jokes, not suggesting
that's
otherwise.
That's just like a given. Yeah, that happens.
It is. Welcome to the podcast where we count down movies and television shows in order of awesomeness so you don't have to make the tough decisions on what to watch next. So Wayne, what are we doing today for episode 76?
Today we are doing our top 10 last 10, which is a popular feature that a lot of folks like, where simply we just take the last 10 movies we saw and rank them 1 to 10.
That's right. And with thanks to the Cine Realist podcast, James and Zach over at that show pioneered this concept and gave us permission to use it. They probably didn't think we'd use it 9 times over and be here 76 episodes later. But nonetheless, we thank you, gentlemen.
Yeah. This is also a good way to round up like any movies we missed or stuff like that. And, you know, just kind of drop down on it and maybe hopefully make some amusing banter from it.
Yeah, that's our plan, that we will give you pretty good guidance, we hope, on what to steer clear of and then what to actually seek out with a passion.
Paul, how did your list go this week? These sometimes go well, they sometimes don't. How did this one go for you?
Go well in the sense of how many good films do you have on your list. That's right. Look, this is the strongest list I've ever had. Mm-hmm. So stick around for that, people, because I have 8 of my 10 films I will recommend as being worth seeing.
Normally
it's more like 3 or 4.
Yeah.
So either I'm getting better at picking films to watch, or I've just been fucking lucky.
Lucky.
And yours?
Not so well. Not as well. Having said that, I think it's like half and half. It's not terrible, nor is it like, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Although it does reflect a little bit what's happening lately on the countdown.
Yes, you've darkened my spirits.
Long-term listeners will know that I have long been, what's the word I'm looking for here?
Cunt. Paul has been
say tarnished.
No, cunt.
Tarnished with the brush. Of being the harsher one of the two of us?
Also known as. No, but...
but more recently, Wayne seems to be the harsher man who's harder to please.
And frankly, I don't like the way this personality is turning out. So, you know, I'm always the optimist, I think. But, you know, it goes different now.
All right, great. But before we go any further, as we started last week, let's give our great listeners the chance to interact with us by providing them with the ways in which they can do that.
Right. If you want to find us on Facebook, just search for the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews Podcast. Or if you want to send us an email, send it to thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com.
We are on any podcatching app. You can find us on Spreaker Radio. You can find us on Stitcher Radio. Most importantly, you can find our shows hosted on the Podomatic website, where you can follow us if you're a member there, like individual episodes. And on iTunes, of course, where we think most of our listeners do come from. Please leave a rating, leave a review. Preferably, Wayne, 5 stars, because he loves it when I say that and beg so openly.
Yeah. Everyone likes a groveler.
Nothing gets the chicks to say yes, like, please.
Wow, this guy's so nervous he threw up. I'm going to fuck him. No.
No, that's the way we get out to a wider audience. And it has been happening. I want to thank all those people who have taken the time to rate and review us of late. And a special shout out to Darth Sean, from a regular contributor to the show who over in the UK, left us a wonderful review very recently, as well as some other great ones in the US.
Very Australian kind
listeners,
of you, D.
You're lagging a little bit. I don't want to make this a
no,
Aussie versus American
one. Don't be a dick
one.
About it, Paul.
I don't want to make it that
no,
way.
No,
but
well, you know, shit, it's getting that way.
I have to say that the American reviews have almost surpassed the Australian reviews.
That's fine, people. You leave us a review if you feel like it. I'm not going to suck everyone's dick. It'll take too long like
I'm
last
just
week.
Thinking maybe the Australian dicks.
I've already sucked a lot of Australian dick.
Maybe I'll cut that whole bit.
No. You leave that in. It's fine with me. Okay.
No, we do appreciate every single rating interview, and it's helping us to get to a wide audience, and we are growing, which is exactly the point. So thank you all very much.
Yeah, guys.
Well, before we get to this week's countdown, then, there's no review this week. No film came out worth our time.
No shit.
It is the lag period between summer and awards / horror season, so...
Suck horror season, but yeah, sorry.
Excuse me.
Yeah, fuck it.
So let's get straight on to this week's recount.
Who wants a recount? Who wants a recount? Who wants a recount? Who wants a recount?
Recount is our listener feedback segment where we hear from you, the listeners, about stuff when you came back to us on Twitter and email and shit like that.
Yeah.
And we really greatly appreciate it, starting with John Baker at JBakeR2D2. Now, his tweet was in reference to last week's most ridiculous action scenes, sure. episode 75. I vote for anything with Steven Seagal in it, though I admit I enjoy his ponytail bad acidness.
Maybe when he was younger. Now it's just sad.
Yeah, well, for sure. And then from Jennifer Hicks, regular contributor and great friend to the
show.
Hey,
Jen.
Great to hear from her again. Did you notice in the Sausage Party ep that Wayne once referred to it as Sausage Factory?
I did. I actually heard that back and I was like, oh, no. So
yeah. I didn't.
No, I did.
I edited the damn thing.
I know. I know. I mean, and I'm making a lot of those mistakes. So, you know, Alzheimer's is setting in.
I think my response to Jen went something like this. But knowing Wayne, any chance you can get to increase the number of sausages in the house, he'll take.
It's like a woodpile of dicks up in here.
Thanks, Jim. Then another great friend and contributor to the show, Darth Grumpy, wrote, because of episode 27, now that's going right the way back, I'm watching Krull on YouTube.
On YouTube? That is exactly what that deserves.
Because, like you, I want to remember what a true shitty movie is. And he wrote 10 minutes in, and he actually kept updating the tweets after that, so he was pretty much live tweeting.
Live tweeting.
And I do have to say, I'm sorry, Darth. Go back and listen to episode 27, why we were watching that film.
Wait, did he say it was a piece of shit?
He hates it.
Yeah, no, that's understandable.
He thought it was an equal piece of shit like I did.
No, it's
the
true.
Difference being that I thought it was going to be good before I went back to rewatch it. So,
to be fair, the little I remember of it, I actually remember fondly.
Yeah.
But I couldn't tell you a thing about it.
Then from fantastic hashtag pod and family member Shane at Now That I'm Older at I'm Older PC. Okay, I'm crying foul on Wayne liking Young Guns 2 over Young Guns. Shit, shit, shit.
I liked it more.
I'm catching up and I shouted at my radio. And then he added, tell him I said he should raise his right hand and slap himself in the face.
You hear this? There, it's happening. It sounded like me slapping my fingers, didn't it? It didn't sound at all like a slap.
Worst sound effect ever. At least I could have put a... I just kind of like Lethal well, Weapon sound effect was... in there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Thanks, Shane. I tend to agree that Young Guns is a way better film than Young Guns 2. So, nevertheless, I liked them both.
Yeah.
Whatever that says about moi.
I was more excited about the second.
And then second to last from our good friend Dan Vadimoncur.
Yeah.
At the Media Nerds and Star Wars Nerds podcast. He wrote in and said, love the new segment, which was movie Urban Legends.
Oh, nice.
But could you please update the Recount intro? That song was bad enough the first time around.
If we're updating anything, it's the fucking intro song for Legends.
Yeah, we are first to admit that
we needed it.
It was not our finest hour.
You know what it was? It was just us trying to sing with headphones on that were noise cancelling, so we didn't know what we were doing.
Nope.
And yeah.
Trying to sing is a very generous way of putting it.
Yeah, sing. Sorry, you know, bellow. Yeah. Fart through our mouths. Yeah.
So, Dan, look, you're the first person to complain about the Recount segment, but if there is anyone else out there who wants us to change that, then...
You can suck my dick! That's what I'm saying right now. Okay, Paul likes to pander to the masses, but I don't do that. So here's how it is. Thank you, Dan. That's very kind, and I do appreciate the feedback. But we probably won't be changing that.
And Dan, from your podcast, I know you're a very straight heterosexual man, but if you ever change your mind, apparently, the offer's on.
The dick right here, yeah. And it ain't gonna suck itself. Dan's a sport. He's going to be fine with this.
I hope so. And may you edit this bit.
That is staying in. That is going to be glass and a half of full cream dairy milk, cunt.
Glass and a half, you say?
Class.
A glass. Right. Which reminds me, I think it's Fernby on Twitter got back to us and he gave us our podcast to listen, and along with several others, and he tagged us all in on this tweet. And he said, you guys all swear more than a Martin Scorsese movie.
I said,
yeah, look, we are explicit for a reason. Look, I hope you're still listening, Fernby, and if you are, cheers, mate.
Yeah.
And then finally, from good friend to the show and listener Campbell, he wrote in via email to say that he's now watched 8 films that we have recommended on the show and is going to compile a list, once he's watched 10, of ranking it from 10 to 1, worst to best.
Yeah.
So we thought this might be, and he actually suggested, this might be a nice opportunity for other long-term listeners and fans of the show to do the same.
Yeah.
So if you have managed to see 10 films that we've recommended and...
On our recommendation.
Yeah, on our recommendation. And have either liked or disliked, doesn't matter. rank them from 10 to 1, and get back to us, and we're going to compile them all together for a special episode that will come up later on, maybe around an anniversary kind of time. That might be a nice way to celebrate it.
That would be fun.
And then also, Campbell suggested that we might take together 10 films that we've recommended each other over time and compile that into a list. So that might be a special show down the track. Thank you so much, Campbell. Some great ideas.
Thanks, bro. Nice producing.
All right. So we've got one segment today before we get to the countdown proper. But before we get there, let's cut to a hashtag Pod and Family promo group of podcasts that have come together to promote one another and help each other get bigger in the world of podcasting.
Do you have a movie, TV show, food, comic, video game, sport, activity, book, band, drink, or even podcast that you love but no one else seems to? Are you constantly defending your love of Superman Returns, Bloodsport, Miley Cyrus, Pizza Pockets, Nicholas Sparks, Comic-Cons, Disney, M. Night Shyamalan, the DC Extended Universe, or Power Rangers? Do you feel alone? You're not. Here at Quote Unquote Guilty, we talk about all so-called guilty pleasures and the people who hold them dear. It's time to come out of the shadows, friends, and wear your guilty pleasures like a badge of honor. So come check us out on iTunes, Stitcher, or SoundCloud right now. We are Quote Unquote Guilty, a proud member of the Word Salad Network and the hashtag Potter and Family community, and we're ready to believe you.
Hello, this is for...
Can't we say
the...
hello at the same time?
Fuck's sake. Hello! This is an advertisement for Master Debaters.
Oh, can we say Master Debaters together as well? Yeah?
Hello. Hello! I'm Michael.
I'm Sean.
I'm Toffer.
And we are the Master Debaters.
Oh,
we
are
the Master Debaters.
That's what we want to do.
We're all saying it.
Yeah.
Hello! I'm Michael.
I'm Sean.
I'm Toffer.
And we are the Master Debaters.
I thought we were just doing...
Hello! I'm Michael.
I'm Sean.
I'm Toffer.
We are...
The Master Debaters.
You can find us on Twitter at _MasterDebaters, SoundCloud, Podbean, and iTunes. Just do yourself a favour and jump aboard this podcast train.
Choo choo, motherfucker!
We got these taglines! I know you know it.
Yeah, bitch, I know it.
We know we got these taglines! Taglines? Is a segment where Paulie and I try and challenge each other by busting out a movie tagline of a movie, popular movie, from the past, and then the other guy got to guess it, and if he gets it right, this stuff all actually adds up and is accumulated, and at the end of the whatever,
yeah,
we'll, you know, have a winner, as in who guessed how many taglines the most.
And the winner will get to pick a subject of a show next year.
That's right.
Which we already understand from what happened earlier this year will be painful for the other person.
That's right. So it's high stakes.
Very.
So these are organized in like easy, medium, and hard.
Yeah.
Paulie, why don't you go ahead and bust me out your easy, mediums, and hards.
All right. So my easy tagline for today is, the first casualty of war is innocence.
Oh, I know this one. It's fucking that Michael J. Fox movie with Sean Penn, and it's called Casualties of War?
Ooh.
Hang on. Damn it! I know the fucking movie. I don't know the title. It's something of war, right? Or is it Casualties of something? Or is it... Balls. I don't know what it is, but I know what the damn movie is. Vietnam, right? Vietnam-ass movie.
For sure. You're 100% on the right path with Vietnam movie.
Yeah. Damn it, I can't remember the name. All right, what is it?
It was Casualty of War that you were thinking of.
Yeah.
It's actually Platoon.
Oh, balls, is it?
Mm.
I mixed it up in my head.
You did.
Son of a bitch.
All right. So, by the way, okay. Wayne is leading 5-4 at this point in the game. So.
Yeah, well, I'm doing too well. All right.
Okay,
all right.
Here we go.
Go with medium.
The medium one. Now, the clue is in the title, in this tagline, okay?
Okay, good. Those are good.
Yep. And it is from a genre that you enjoy. I'll give you that clue as well.
Word.
After a night they can't remember, comes a day they'll never forget.
Dude, where's my car?
We should probably work out something where we give it like 5 seconds so the audience can play along. That is 100% correct.
Nice. All okay, right. Good.
Wayne is up to six.
By the way, this is very funny because I hated that fucking movie.
Mm, you did.
And I don't know whether Paul likes it or not, but because he knows I hate it, he shits on me all about it. So for all I know, he loves it.
And then?
See, fuck that shitty joke. Fuck that shitty joke. And then? Fuck off.
Okay. And lastly.
Okay, here's a hard one.
A lot can happen in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, man. This could be anything.
It is a hard one.
All right, bust me like a little clue.
It's not a horror.
Fuck you. That's a shit clue. And it's obviously a well-known show.
It is well-known. It is definitely well-known. And it does fit once you know the film. How can I give you a clue that's not obvious? Because it's one of those films where once you get a clue, it's pretty easy. It's American. It's American
okay,
film.
Okay. Is it The Martian?
Is that your final answer?
Shit. Middle of nowhere. It wouldn't be The Martian. You wouldn't give me The Martian. No, you wouldn't give me The Martian.
It's not The Martian.
Okay,
fine. I wouldn't have asked that your final answer otherwise.
Middle of nowhere. Is it Fargo?
Yes.
Yes!
Pull
What's
that
up,
one
dog?
Out of your
what
anus.
What is up?
Wow. 7-4 Wayne leads.
Okay, but you're probably going to get...
Ironically, got the easy one wrong and pulled the hard one out of his ass.
Yeah, no shit. Wow. Okay. All right. Here's the first one. It's easy. The tagline is, are you in or out? Now, I'm going to give you a clue on this one.
Thanks.
A very well-known movie.
Yeah.
All right. It's one of my favorites, and you may think I'm a little bitch as a result. And the lead guy in it, I really want to fuck.
Ocean's 11.
Nice one, brother. All right. Nice one.
Thank you. That was the clue got me there, I will admit.
But it's really open. I think they need to be sort of, so you could sort of figure it out to make it interesting. So.
Yeah, okay, yep. 7-5.
Okay, all right. This is the medium one. Again, you can guess it from there. The tagline is, 5 good reasons to stay single.
5 good reasons to stay single.
Mm. And I will give you a clue.
It's a comedy.
Comedy, for sure.
Mm-hmm. It's not 10 things I hate about you, because that would be 10 good reasons to stay single.
Okay, here's my clue for you, okay? Mm-hmm. 5 good reasons to stay single. I'm telling you, it's a British movie.
Is that what your clue
that
was?
That is what my clue is.
With apologies to all our UK listeners.
What? That was, I wasn't really sure where that came from.
Oh, shit, I'm gonna...
I could have gone with 5 good fucking reasons to fucking stay single. But that was only to make it British.
4 weddings and a funeral?
Yes!
Alright.
There
that's
it is.
The clue totally.
Which
got
I think
me there.
Is more interesting anyway, yeah. So I'm fine to lose
just
that one.
Just for the addition. Just for the addition one, okay? Here's a tough one, okay?
Here's a tough one, but you kinda nailed like 2 of them, so I don't even know if this is gonna happen. See it with a bud.
Dazed and confused.
Shit! 3-3! I have been really
7-all!
This
I'm
is
coming
shit.
Back, baby!
This is shit. Alright, okay, alright. Well done.
So we're deadlocked after 3 rounds of taglines at 7-all.
Yeah, yeah. And I think about it, that hard one wasn't really a hard one. I don't know if I think I'm going to mess around with this a bit more. Okay. Alright.
Yeah, I think we got it all out of whack today. I think our easy and hards were. Yeah. Anyway, we hope you had fun playing along at home. And
yes,
thanks
guys.
To the Pat and Jason podcast who commented on the same. They enjoyed listening and trying to guess. With the last segment of this. Alright, no further ado. Let's get into this week's top 10, last 10.
What's up, guys? This is Nick from the Epic Film Guys podcast, and you are listening to the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews with your hosts, Paul and Wayne. And every single week, they take the best in television and film and also the worst, and they'll let you know what's worth your time so that you don't have to waste your time. And every single episode, you're not only going to laugh your ass off, but you're also going to learn a hell of a lot about a lot of different movies and a lot about how much Wayne loves testicles. So join them each and every week. You can follow them over on Twitter at TheCountdownPC. Find them on iTunes, or of course, you can always go to their website, thecountdownmoviesandtv.podomatic.com. Enjoy the show.
Even when the composer wasn't that great, they were like no-namers, but they come up with these iconic themes, which
even films
you
that
get
are complete,
in your head.
Even films that are complete shitfests, like
garbage.
Stallone's,
yeah.
Like Stallone's Judge Dredd. Dun, dun. Dun, 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 like that theme is so iconic, it sticks
don't
right in
don't call that
head.
Movie shit. We both know that's your favorite movie of all time. All right,
it definitely is one of them. I will readily admit to that.
A little bit. Let's put a little more lighthearted feel in this.
What are you doing down there, Judge Hershey?
Waiting for backup.
Hey, Diane it's Lane. Here. Diane Lane, man.
This week's countdown for episode 76 is, as we mentioned at the top of the show, our top 10 last 10, where we effectively rank the last 10 films we've seen from worst to best.
Yep.
The only other thing you need to know is that we will let you know when we cross that divide from bad to good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice because we start out ragging on stuff and we end up praising things, hopefully.
Yeah, yeah. It goes positive.
That's right. So, Wayne, why don't you lead us away then with your number 10?
No problem. My number 10 is a movie you recommended to me just last week.
I know what this is.
Yes, I Facebooked about it. It's Fast and Furious 6. And you are right.
I am sorry. Absolutely. I'm also right. Sorry.
No, but I did want to see it because after all these people talked about the runway scene, I definitely had to see that.
How hilarious was that shit?
I'll get into it. First of all, I'll tell you.
Take us here.
No, I'll tell you. This is. I saw the extended version for a start.
What? Yeah. Why would you do that to yourself?
Because I don't know. While there was two available, I'll get that one. You know, I don't know. I just wanted to see that. This is Justin Lin did this, right? I don't know.
Correct.
I don't know how he got a gig after this because...
Well, the gig he got was Star Trek Beyond.
I know, which is a big gig. Mm. So I'm just saying, like, I'm having an extremely difficult time believing for this movie, the top special ops military, like, require the services of a bunch of car thieves because they don't have anyone better in their entire military to do this shit, to take down master criminals. So that's just fantastic. That's great. The dialogue in this thing, piece of shit. The actors did not have a chance. It's such a bad shit piece of shit. Really just, I mean, after they'd all die in the first action scene, they're just kicking back at HQ and they're laughing and making jokes and stuff like this. The tone of this movie is all wrong. It's like, is this a horrible bit and then this shit happens and everyone's just fine and everything. That scene itself, what offended me, the runway scene, is not so much the ridiculously long runway and not so much the stupid things that happened in it, but just the dumb plot holes in it. For example, they are on a plane and they're trying to get out of the plane. There's bad guys in the plane. It's about to take off. So finally, Vin Diesel gets his woman or whatever into a car and they drive off the plane. But then one of the bad guy, the girl, she takes a fucking car and drives off the plane after them. They're trying to escape. Why would she leave the fucking plane?
I forgot that bit.
It's all shit. You know, so yeah, this is the worst of the movies that I saw. I can understand why everyone hates it.
Did you see what was number one on my most ridiculous action scenes
list? It was. If I had seen this before that show, this would have been on my list. Paul Walker shoots a grappling hook and puts English on it by firing it into the fucking engine. It blows and comes back and fires it around a corner and hits the flap. What the fuck? I know it's supposed to be ridiculous, but it wasn't good. So, yeah. That's it.
100% agree.
Yep.
Yeah. And I will say 7 is an improvement. A little.
Well, stay tuned.
Oh, well, it is. There you go.
Yeah,
because it's coming up.
Absolutely.
And if only because I thought it was hilarious, number 7.
Number 7 is a different movie. I saw that too. I'll get into it. It's on my list.
Sorry, well,
it's definitely on my list.
Let's not spoil any more of that. My, then, number 10 is a film that has been in development for what feels like very, very long time.
Yeah.
It's based on a Stephen King novel. It is Cell from this year, directed by Todd Williams, who is a director of a previous Paranormal Activity film.
Mm.
Cell deals with some weird virus that is transmitted via cell phone.
Oh.
Cell phone in the States, mobile phone here in Australia.
Yep.
That infects people and turns them into basically lunatics who try to murder everybody else.
Interesting.
The concept is pretty cool.
This is a recent movie?
Yeah, very recent.
Okay.
But like I said, it's been coming out for about as long as I can remember. It stars John Cusack and Samuel L. Jackson.
J to the Q's.
Who effectively sleepwalk their way through this entire film, not giving one fuck beyond their paycheck whatsoever.
You're kidding.
Samuel L. Jackson is abominably bad.
How often do you hear that? Mm. Never.
John Cusack, not much better.
You're kidding.
But the film itself is such a piece of shit.
Why? Is it just like annoying?
I'll
is
be talking
bad?
About this film again on the end of my, on the worst of the 10, 2016, later this year. 100% guaranteed.
Wow.
It is that awful.
So don't even go anywhere near it.
I can't even say watch it in a like an amusing Fast and Furious 6 kind of way.
I get it.
This is just piss poor filmmaking. And they obviously had a budget. You don't get John Cusack, you don't get Samuel L. Jackson, and they got Stacey Keach, who's, you know, obviously well past it, but a couple of bit players whose faces you recognize. Mm. You don't get these kind of people involved unless you've got some budget.
You would think.
Now, Stephen King horror novels are notoriously impossible to make into a good film, the closest to which might be Pet Sematary.
Okay.
This proves beyond a shadow of a doubt they are unfilmable because he was involved in writing this script.
And his shit.
He co-wrote the script, Stephen King.
Oh, God.
It is awful.
Wow.
And it ends with one of the worst last 20 minutes in cinema history.
You're kidding.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
It even opens with, get this, the film, if you need any further indicator of how bad this film's going to be, the opening credits take place over action in the film.
Yeah.
Yet they choose to have weird blocked text that blocks almost everything. So you're almost trying to look over the top of what you're watching or around the sides of the text to see what's going on.
Very odd.
So not even like, you know, tall, small writing, which they would have in the corner or even in the center of the screen, but small. No, there's huge blocks of blackness around the text.
Who directed this?
Todd Williams. and I don't understand what the fuck he was on.
Okay. These are odd decisions, very odd decisions.
Everything is odd. The visual effects look like they were made by the kids on work experience
when oh.
the rest of the crew went out to have their beers for Friday lunch. It is awful.
Wow. Piece of shit, eh?
There it is.
All right. The Cell. Did not make
just,
a Cell.
Just, not even The Cell. Just Cell.
Just Cell. Mm-hmm. Okay, Cell. Okay, got it. Okay. My number 9 was a big disappointment to me. It is Batman the Killing Joke.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, man.
Now, did you go to the cinemas to see it? Because it played one session once in Perth, right?
I almost bought a ticket and then got like busy on that day. So, but I was going to go. For anyone who's unfamiliar, The Killing Joke was a comic book, which is like a total fanboy Bible like representation of Batman. Much beloved because mostly the comic is 1, really beautiful, and 2, it's kind of disturbing for a Batman comic and has an ambiguous ending. Now, revolves around the Joker who breaks out of Arkham and wants to prove to everyone that everyone is on the brink of madness and will go mad if they just have one bad day. And he then goes on to try Commissioner Gordon have a very bad day by getting him naked and doing a bunch of stuff and like shooting his daughter and all sorts of stuff. So that made it like, you know, I'm like, holy crap, I heard they're making an R-rated movie of this. Great, let's do it. Saw it. Sucks. It is,
and you are, as has been well established in this podcast, you are one of the biggest Batman fans going around.
Sure, sure. This definitely suffers a bit from my high expectations. So I'll tell you that. That happens. That's definitely a factor. However, I can sum up the problem with this movie in 2 words: shitty animation. That's it. The show doesn't look like... A lot of the previous ones are actually quite good, even though they're probably similar budget. This one, it looks actually amateurish. Like, it's poor quality, jerky animation, and it's not really well... I don't know, fleshed out. I'm not sure. There was problems with it. So the problem with that is that kills the whole movie, because when you see the harsh things that happen in the comic, you see that in this movie, but it looks like Super Friends kind of shitty anime. Like it takes completely everything away from it. Like, and you're like, So it just ends up having this weird tone instead of having any impact. So it's just crap. And they somehow managed to fuck up the ending as well. In the comic, the way the frames are put together, there's the one of the final frames is a silhouette of the Batman and Joker just laughing at the end with each other. And Batman's hand is on the Joker's chest. Now, it could be that he was ha 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 and just chucking him on the shoulder as he's laughing. But a lot of people think that he actually killed the Joker in that scene. And then it just kind of fades out. And you don't know as a comic book reader what happened. This thing fucked that all up. Like, it just took everything away from it. So it was just shit. This is a crap movie. Still go watch it if you're a Batman fan. If you're a Batman fan, you've already seen it, but I was mad disappointed.
All right. Not that it was on my watch list, but it won't make it on that basis.
I mean, you know.
Star rating?
It was 2.
Well, 2? That's better than I was anticipating the way you were talking about it.
Nah, it was... It had all the stuff that it meant to have in it, but it just was treated so badly that it was disappointing. Like, I don't know. It's you might enjoy it because I've got a lot of ownership in that sort of thing in it. And so, but if you just see it as someone who's like not really a big fan, you might like it.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you. My number 9 is a film that ex-co-host and returning co-host soon, Alejandro,
Genders.
Loves.
Yeah, good. What's that?
Everybody Wants Some.
Oh, yes, Richard Linklater.
The latest film from Richard, as you said, mm-hmm. Linklater. He who directed Dazed and Confused, the Before Sunrise, Sunset. That sort of love story series.
Yep.
And Boyhood from, a couple of years back now, which was big in Oscar contention for 2015.
This is what number for you?
9.
Dear, oh dear.
Because it is absolutely shit.
Is it?
Yep.
Now, you've seen Dazed and Confused.
I have.
How does it compare? Because that's kind of what this thing is doing, right?
It is very similar to Dazed and Confused, but I am 20 years older, and I was clearly not stoned when I watched this film. In my opinion, I don't understand how anyone could enjoy this movie.
What was wrong with it?
Is it
boring? Is it?
There's no laughs. There's no genuine laughs, as far as I'm concerned. It's basically about very early 80s, a bunch of frat boys that come together and wade through the first weekend of college.
Yep.
Whilst they all play on a baseball team together.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you this. Is it that there are no laughs, or do they try for laughs but fail?
To my mind, they're all character-based laughs, and none of them worked.
Okay, so they failed.
There's no coherent narrative structure at all.
Yeah.
It literally starts with them arriving on maybe Saturday morning, and it ends like Monday morning as they go off to class.
That's it.
That's it.
Okay.
You don't give a shit about any of them. There are some quirky personalities in there.
Mm-hmm.
Whoop-de-fuck. Can do.
Now, Ellie likes this one.
Ellie really does like this one.
Okay, all right.
It's incredibly long. Like, it's 116 minutes.
Yeah.
Which, for a comedy,
Yeah, almost 2 hours.
It does have a great soundtrack.
Okay.
It does elicit some moments of, not that we were old enough to appreciate this when this happened, but you can kind of see the dance moves and whatever. And so it's a nice little period piece in that way. That's all I can give it, because everything else is, I didn't give a shit about anybody. I didn't care about any facet of the so-called plot. It's just 2 days in the life of a bunch of dickheads.
Star rating?
1.5.
Wow.
Mm.
Okay. Well, there's a poll I know.
Right. Everybody wants some. In fact, the poster has it as everybody wants some, with like two exclamation points at the end of it.
Oh, yeah. I think it's everybody wants some. Yeah. That's what it is. Yeah. That's what's going
on. All right, fine. I'll agree with that. But even Letterboxd has now just gone fuck off with the exclamation points, and they've just got everyone wants some. As if it's acknowledged that, like,
no one wants some. Thank you very much.
Nobody should want any.
Okay. Loud and clear, loud and clear. My number 8 is a movie called The Next 3 Days. Now, this is a movie with Russell Crowe and what's her name? Elizabeth Banks?
Banks. Oh, I think I've seen this a long time ago.
Yeah. Now, the movie is about a husband, played by Russell Crowe, whose wife is convicted and incarcerated for a murder she says she didn't commit. So Russell Crowe's been trying to prove her innocence, like 3 years later kind of thing, while having the same troubles that any single parent would with the kid and everything. And when her final appeal is rejected, Lara, who is his wife, becomes suicidal, and it forces Russell Crowe to break her out of prison. So, yes, which is good. Now, it's not a bad movie, but it's sort of slow because it spells out lots of details. But I will say that it did keep me involved.
Who directed this?
It was directed by Paul Haggis.
Oh, he of Crash fame.
I was just going to ask
Academy Award winner.
Crash
won the Best Picture, and he's also on that Church of Scientology anti-movie from last year that you recommended
for
me.
Oh, Going Clear.
Yes.
Oh, right.
Yeah, he's one of the guys who got out and just speaks against Scientology.
Okay. Look, it's not like I said, it's not a horrible movie or anything. The best part about it is that when Russell Crowe goes about breaking his wife out of jail, he doesn't all of a sudden become really competent at it. He does it with the same trouble and missteps that any normal person would, but it ultimately kind of makes it work somehow. So it's not contrived like that. It actually is quite realistic.
Mm-hmm.
And it is engaging. It's just that if the movie moved along a bit better, it would have been more enjoyable. So it's just a bit draggy. That's the problem with it.
Yeah, it is long from recollection. And anything else?
I don't think I necessarily am saying I recommend this. I think I just say that it's like if it comes on in Netflix or whatever, or you're on a plane or whatever, if you watch it, you won't be disappointed.
Yeah, plane movie. That's a good description, I think.
Yeah. Plane movie-ish, definitely.
So is this a 2.5 star for you?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
No, I reckon that's what I would rate it based on what I recall.
Yeah? Okay, cool. All right.
Well, I'm jumping from 1.5 at 9 to 3 stars at 8.
This is where you start recommending?
Yep. This is where I start recommending. Every film from here on in, I would recommend if it sounds like it's your kind of film.
Okay.
This is a film which Justin from the Epic Film Guys, our brothers in the US, loved.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't like it as much as he did. I'm not sure what he saw in it that I didn't.
Mm.
But it's not a bad film at all. It's just, it has some problems.
Sure.
It's Midnight Special, directed by Jeff Nichols, and came from this year. It's a film about a father and son who go on the run after he learns his child has special powers. So it's very Starman-esque.
Really?
Michael Shannon is the father in the film.
Yep.
Yeah. And his offsider and the man who helps him all through this is Joel Edgerton.
Oh.
And the mother is played by Kirsten Dunst.
Well.
So it's got your little cast going on here.
I love Kirsten.
Yeah. And one of the FBI guys who's chasing them is played by the bad guy from The Force Awakens.
Oh, not Donald Gleason?
Adam Driver.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah.
Got it.
So it's a pretty good cast in there as well. Sam Shepard pops up for a little bit as well. It's a bit of a mess, this movie, in a way.
But still goodish.
It sets a lot of stuff up, which I don't think it ever really pays off.
Okay,
and I don't want to spoil anything because it is a brand new film. So right.
Okay.
But it's, I guess you'd describe it as a road film with sci-fi / fantasy undertones.
Not bad.
And I think the ending will vary, like how much mileage you'll get out of that. For me, it didn't work.
For you, it didn't work? Okay, yeah.
For others, I can see it working just fine.
Okay. This is quite interesting. So very new, you say?
Yeah, on VOD a couple months back. So it's pretty brand new. And look, I would recommend it. As I said, 3 stars for me.
3 out of 5, not bad.
I was hoping for more. I thought this might be the big sleeper hit of the year for me, and it just wasn't.
Is it more sci-fi, or is it more adventure, or is it more thriller, or is it more...
All of the above.
All of the above, okay. It,
very much like Starman, as I said, from the 80s. And I think that encompasses...
Well, Starman rocked.
Yeah, well, so there you go. Well worth a check out then.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice one. My number 7 is in fact Fast and Furious 7.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice so synchronicity to that.
That's right. There's a bit of commitment going on here. See, I was like, I suffered through 6 and I'm like, well, I'm just going to do 7 now because that's how it is, right? So I watched them one after the other.
Fool me once.
exactly. No, I'm a glutton for punishment. So, however, having said that, after the first 5 minutes of this movie, I could immediately tell it was, at the very least, a better movie than 6. Like, and look, don't get me wrong, this movie probably benefited from me not liking 6.
Yeah,
like,
okay.
I wasn't expecting, you know, something.
Yep.
Now, I mean, there is still some shitty dialogue in this, but holy shit, the directing. I actually stopped about two-thirds in, no, 20 minutes in, and I'm like, is it Justin Lin? Because it doesn't look like him.
Do you know who it was?
I figured it out. And it turns out it's James Wan.
Yeah.
So first of all, Perth represent.
Aussie director James Wan.
Yeah. Yep. But secondly, I was actually kind of blown away by the director. It's done and framed in such a different way and executed so much differently that, okay, in movies, as in life, context is as important as content. So the way that it gets shot made me feel like it was kind of a living comic. Because
I can say that,
when someone falls over, he cants the camera. That's cool, man. Yep. And even like the transitions where he like shoots and like roll, he like racks up to the sky and then the other scene comes in the other way. Very weird little cool decisions, I thought. Kurt Russell was wicked in it.
And, yeah, I told you, didn't I?
He was so wicked and I kind of forgot he was in it. I was like, oh shit, it's Kurt Russell! And he made it different again.
And he plays against type. Like, you expect that character to go a certain way in this movie and it doesn't.
Yes.
Which was really refreshing.
You think he's
going
to play?
Yes, and apparently he's in Furious 8.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, so he made it. Okay, good. That's good. Mm. The Jason Statham thing, fantastic. Like the opening bit where he's like talking to his brother in hospital and he's, you know, kind of like whatever. And then he just, the camera racks out and then it turns out this hospital's been decimated by
him. Yeah. That was cool. Know? That was a good bit.
That was when I was like, wait a minute, this isn't the same director. That is completely well handled. So he did as good a job as he could, because I know that this is where Paul Walker died and they had to get it, you know, to do the thing towards the end with the CGI and isn't it? I could tell where it was.
Oh,
but
you could, because on the movies, I couldn't.
Oh, it's on the very, very end bit with the beach and everything. You can just tell it's quite a faraway shot
fair
of him
enough,
getting
fair
up.
Enough, yeah,
but it's still pretty well handled.
At the cinema, and obviously it's not as sharp as digital and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
I remember thinking like, whoa, I cannot tell where they went with him. I can see where structurally they changed the story.
Yes.
To work around the fact he's not available.
Yep.
But I couldn't see it. So I guess if you can see it digitally, that makes more
but
sense.
But I'm thinking like, even especially with those kind of challenges, this movie turned out a lot better than I would have expected.
Yeah.
And this was definitely my number 7. I will say one thing though. I think Vin Diesel needs to think about hanging up the boots. Because I'm not, like, I'm looking at this movie. For real, at this point, I think I'm better looking than him. He should be called Chin Diesel. He's like, I seriously have a grandfather who's passed on now who looks like Vin Diesel does now. Like, he actually looks like it. I'm not kidding. And it's, yeah, he's, I mean, you know, good on you, Vin, and all that sort of stuff, but something ain't working. So that's just a little tag note there, so...
Very good.
That's number 7. All right.
Okay. My number 7 then is a film that you reviewed last year on this similar segment, and maybe it even made your worst 10 of the year.
Oh, wait a minute. This is going to be awesome. What is it?
And I gave it 3 stars.
Okay, what is it?
It's Trainwreck.
Ah, yeah, he's there.
Amy Schumer's.
Yeah, no.
Written and self-starring comedy about relationships and disconnection.
Oh,
and...
good. So you like... Okay, look, I'm going to admit, I actually rewatched this recently.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like with Bridget. And I actually found it to be a much better movie the second time around.
Yeah, I'm legitimately surprised. I mean, I didn't go back and check our worst 2015 episode, but I thought it was on there.
What was... Yeah, the reason I got shot at this movie was because it apatowed up where...
It is too long. I will concur. Went,
yeah, it just... And the thing is, it was all in the back end. Like, it wasn't sort of like this... It was moving along really well.
That's where I disagree. I think the film got better in the second half.
Did you?
By a great deal.
To me, it was almost over by then. That's why I was... Like, all the funny dick jokes and she's a hoe and this and that, whatever jokes that came up thick and fast at the very beginning. And then it became that stupid that thing where they had to, you know, go sentimental with it and the laughs dropped out of it.
Well,
it ended strong-ish.
I think I've worked out what the difference is between you and I.
Go ahead, please.
There are so many sporting references in this film.
There. Look, LeBron James in that movie
LeBron James
is amazing. Fucking revelation.
Yeah, he's great. And it's perfect because he's just playing a slightly, I hope, exaggerated version of himself.
Yeah.
Like,
no,
I realize
no,
he's not.
No, he's not like, I'm buddies with the white guy doctor. He's not that guy.
No,
surely.
No, but he would be. Look, there's no doubt that LeBron James knows he's good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
what I'm saying. But they've exaggerated that.
Oh, I see. Yeah. No, I get it. No, that was. He was like Puff Daddy and fucking Get Him to the Greek. It was like, oh my God, this guy's hilarious.
Well, it's. I think it's genius on Judd Apatow's part and Amy Schumer's part, whoever wrote this in. So let's write a female-centric comedy about what would be called a stud if it was a male guy.
Yep.
It's called something less nice because it's a male guy.
A male dude.
Because male men never go off the deep end.
That's right. It's all those girly men that do it.
But then they've gone, well, let's just add this whole sporting and that will bring the guys.
Exactly. And very good. I didn't even think about that. You're absolutely right.
So it's kind of genius, I think. Yeah. And LeBron James, yes, as we said, it's great. But then we get some pretty awesome cameos late in the film as well.
Oh, yeah.
So there's an awesome moment where there's an intervention organized for Bill Hader's character, as you said, the white guy doctor. And I'm not going to mention who's in it because if you haven't seen it, that was an absolute delight for me.
Well, when I saw that cameo, I was like, oh, yeah. And then I didn't realize that person was playing themselves.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, shit, that's what makes it funny, man.
But you're talking about one guy. I'm talking about the other guy who I think's even funnier.
Oh, yes. Yeah. No, good point, yeah.
Next week, as a real spoiler for the end of the episode, we are doing the best cameos of all time.
Mm-hmm.
There's a very good chance this is winding up on my list.
Okay.
Just letting you know right now.
Okay.
Haven't done the list yet, but there we are. So I thought it ended very strong. Halfway through, I was like, this is.
I was too harsh on it.
So average. And not piece of shit, but just so average. And also one other thing, maybe the film benefited from the fact I watched it in 20-minute spurts.
Oh, right.
Because I'm coming back from a back injury and I haven't been able to run. And so
that probably would have helped.
I'm
it,
working
actually.
My way through.
Because it's a long movie.
It is, yeah. So it was like, you know, warm up for a couple of Ks, very casual walk, and then build up to a run and blah, blah, blah. So when the run starts, I turn it off and listen to music. But for the walk part, I'd watch 20 minutes of the film.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Actually, that's a very good point. You're right. Mm. You do actually understand her and like her better at the end of the movie.
Oh, I think her arc was fantastic.
Yeah.
So over to you for your number six.
Okay, my number six is, oddly enough, a YA movie, young adult type movie, which I didn't really know about, and it just came on TV.
About YA movies or this film in particular?
This film in particular. Oh. I sort of started watching it while I was computing, because I think I'm the guy who invented multi-screening. We've talked about this before.
Or attention deficit disorder.
No, that was around before me, but I do have it. But then I got interested in this movie. So the movie is called Ender's Game. And
oh, okay.
Yeah, did you see it?
Yeah.
You did? All right, well, okay. Okay, this should be fun.
Yeah, my disdain.
No, well, I mean,
speaks volumes.
I'll be honest with you, I kept on watching because it had Harrison Ford in it. And the story, for anyone who doesn't know, it's a story set in the future where children of Earth are actually considered the best age group to control these fleets of drones in space. And the Earth, having been attacked in the past, now basically has an army of these young folks doing stuff. So that's where it's set. But what kind of impressed me was how engaging and kind of, I wasn't expecting for it to be cerebral. I was expecting to be kind of just another kids show or something like that. And I just wanted to see how it worked out. But it was kind of Hunger Games-ish, but better for me. Did you like Hunger Games?
Nah, not enough to watch the sequel.
No, me neither.
But if there was an Ender's Game sequel, I wouldn't be seeing that either.
No, I understand that either. I'm not actually rushing out to see it or whatever, but just the little, because they got a Quidditch kind of thing where they have this space arena that they all fly around in and they sort of shoot stuff at each other.
Was that a Harry Potter reference?
Yeah, I've never seen Harry Potter, but it's like this
Harry Potter.
Welcome back, Harry Potter. Oh shit,
Harry Potter.
Yeah, Harry Potter. There's this, like, it's that thing. They have to have a competition between all the cadets, and that's what this version of it is. And I thought that was cool. So, yeah, I unexpectedly liked it. I was oddly very engaged. You obviously were not.
Meh.
Yeah, okay.
Very meh. Two stars for me.
Once again, I was expecting nothing.
Yeah, that thing, helps.
So it does help. So, yeah, okay. There you go.
All right. A film that I was expecting things out of for my number six, and I was hopeful of. Mel Gibson's starrer, Blood Father.
I have been very curious about this, having seen a trailer where he's on a motorcycle and shooting.
Yeah.
So,
directed by Jean-Francois Richet.
Wonderful.
I hope I did that justice. Blood Father is a very simple story. It's 88 minutes long or 86 minutes long.
Wicked.
His daughter, who's run away from his mother's home because dad was in jail.
Right.
Has gotten involved with bad guys and is in a crime in the very opening scene of the film and then has to escape to save her life and goes running to dad.
Right.
which is obviously Mel Gibson.
No, he has a beard.
Mel Gibson has a big beard. He has very creasy forehead, and he has a lot of character in his face.
Is he like a bikie? Is that what it is?
Yeah, yeah. There's implication he's an ex-bikie. Not implication, it's eventually stated he's an ex-bikie.
Got it.
He's an ex-alcoholic, so he's going to AA, and his sponsor is William H. Macy.
Oh, wow.
And the film is then basically him having to protect his daughter from these ne'er-do-wells who are chasing her.
And it's good action, it's good fun, it's good everything, writing, this, that.
No,
what do you like?
The writing's not good.
Writing's not good?
No, it's not. What is good is Mel.
Really?
We can say what we like about his real-life antics and his personal beliefs. If you are a person who cannot get past those, do not watch this film.
Yeah, no. There's a reason he was on top for so long.
And has been ostracized from Hollywood for a long time.
You can say the same about Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
He got weird beliefs, but that guy can act his balls off.
Yeah, Tom Cruise almost killed himself as badly as Mel Gibson has.
Mm.
This is his attempted resurrection, but I think this is worth watching for him alone.
Okay, well, that's huge. He carries the whole movie.
His performance is... Look, he is a magnetic actor.
Yes, I agree.
Reasons I won't go into here, I had occasion to watch... Well, we'll go into it later. I had occasion to watch quite a few of the Lethal Weapon films during the week, and he's just... You can't take your eyes off him.
Agree. That's always been his thing.
And here he is here again, and he's owning it and selling it. And his daughter's... and everybody else in the film is cardboard cut out.
Even William H. Macy?
He's a cameo, really. Okay. He's in it for like three or four scenes, tops.
So not much chance. All right.
It's these two, really. And yeah, there's a lot of plot contrivances. There's a lot of coincidences. But what is consistently good throughout is Mel. So on that basis, he drags it up to a 3 stars for me.
That's
again,
actually quite a feat.
I know our epic film guy brothers like this film much more than I did.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a varied point of view. But for me, 6 out of 10 is as good as I can go.
Nice one. All right. My number 5 is a documentary.
Ah, very nice.
And it's called Tony Robbins, I Am Not Your Guru.
Ah, I saw this somewhere.
On Netflix.
Okay, that's where it is. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I'd be interested to hear your views on this, actually, if you saw it, because Paul is actually a proper clinician, like an actual pro. And
you better get paid to do what I do.
That's right.
No one's more amazed than me.
No, not at all. He's, but as an optimist by nature, and for me, like, I am quite happy to admit that I quite liked Anthony Robbins, like all his stuff or whatever he says and shit. So most people know he's a self-help guru who over the years has gained a huge following. He's advised presidents, all that sort of shit. This doco is following and actually gets inside one of his famous seminars where he gets those huge rooms of people to attend a course that lasts days and days, and he kind of changes everyone's life kind of thing. Now, the best thing about this movie is it's not... It's actually you get to see what those seminars are actually like and how much... And the big thing that I found was how much he swears.
Is that right?
Yeah, for a guy who's so clean-cut in his, like, you know, audiobooks or whatever, he's like, you gotta fucking do this and you gotta fucking do that and this fucking fuck it! It's actually not saying it. He's not saying it in a horrible way that I'm doing it, but he busts the F a lot, right? And he says that he's using it, so he's actually using language to actually
shock people,
cajole you into you know, action or whatever. So... Without actually scaring you. But it features lots of really good crowd interactions. And then the show, the movie also shows it them 1 year after having attended this seminar and whether things have changed, that kind of shit. So you don't necessarily get to see his internal process of or struggle or with who he is. Or it's not that kind of investigative journalism type piece. It's just more to show you it. But it's really, really engaging. Probably the best thing about it I can say is that it does lionize its subject matter quite a bit. But at the same time, it offers you enough objectivity that... It allows, if you're a non-believer, you can opt out. You can just sit there and go, okay, well, you know, it's not pure propaganda. It is actually allowing you to make up your own mind. It's quite well handled.
All right. So it's balanced.
Yeah. Okay. So whether you're on board with a theory or not, it's an interesting and entertaining documentary, which is all I ask.
So, okay.
There you go.
Very nice. And star rating?
Star rating, it's probably 3.5.
Wow, you're up to 3.5 at number 5.
Yep.
Ooh, only ways up then, 3, 4, 3, 1.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, my number 5 is a film that I had heard very mixed reports about, and I'm pleased to say I fell onto the positive side of the ledger.
Mm-hmm.
It stars Owen Wilson and Lake Bell. It's a film called No Escape.
Oh, I think I've heard of this.
Yeah, directed by John Eric Dowdle, who is, I would suggest, the most spotty filmmaker going around. He's made a couple of amazing films and a couple of the biggest pieces of shit. So this one falls more towards the amazing end, but it's not amazing. It's... Good.
All right.
Yeah, I would say pleasantly surprising.
What's it about?
It's basically Owen Wilson is a American who takes his family to an unnamed Southeast Asian country.
Right.
Where his company is going to be taking over some key waterworks side of things. and there is basically a revolution, and the locals uprise against the
dictator, or whatever.
Well, it's not even a dictator. I think it's a king.
Oh, okay.
And I assumed it was Thailand, but I think I've worked out from looking at a map that it wasn't. I think it was more likely Laos or Cambodia, and they are careful not to let you know which.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, that no one is...
genericized it, yep.
Yeah, exactly. And it's. I think it works because imagining yourself in another country where you don't speak the language,
mm-hmm.
and it's not just you, which is bad enough that you're taken care of,
mm-hmm.
but you have to be responsible for your family as
well.
Yeah, yeah. For me, as a family man,
mm-hmm.
pretty terrifying.
I'll bet.
Spoke to me on that level, and the first half of the film is way better than the second half.
Uh-huh.
Pierce Brosnan is the next biggest star in the film.
James Bond,
and he's, you know, I'm not going to spoil it, but it's pretty obvious what he is and what he isn't from the get-go when he's in the film, and
okay.
he does pop up later on, and it becomes contrived and a bit ridiculous,
yeah.
and it all ends a bit too sweetly for my tastes and too conveniently, but the first half of the film was genuinely, I would go so far as to say, frightening. Maybe that's the best way of putting it. And then it turns into a generic action film and with last-minute escapes and hiding in the corner and someone, does they spot you or do they not? Oh, all this kind of stuff.
Must have worked on some level, though,
for you
to put it here.
It did. Yeah, number 5 on my list, and I would recommend it. I would not saying it's great. I'm just saying it's pretty good.
Nice. Okay. My number 4 is another documentary, but it's...
Whoa.
Yeah, I know. It's a documentary that I had heard about before, and I always wanted to watch it, but then I got reminded about it by Justin from Epic Film Guys last time we did a crossover.
Okay, yep.
The documentary is called Electric Boogaloo, The Wild Untold Story of Canon Films.
Oh, okay, nice.
Yeah. No, this is really wicked. The documentary centers around the story of these two movie-obsessed immigrant cousins, Menahem Golan and Yoram Globus, who created Golden Globus, that 80s,
you know, makes sense.
And they founded like this, you know, Canon studio and ended up producing over 120 exploitation films before the 80s ended. And it launched a lot of careers of a lot of actors that you know, like Chuck Norris, Jean-Claude Van Damme, Dolph Lundgren. And they also did movies like Masters of the Universe and The Delta Force and Missing in Action and all those shitty Charles Bronson
Masters
movies.
Masters of the Universe.
Yeah, man.
Death with 2 through 5.
Absolutely. This is...
By the way, I don't know if that's true. I know they did the last couple.
They did a few of them, yeah, yeah. My dad used to love these movies, so I've actually seen all of the ones that they've done. They even did Bloodsport, which I thought was good. So, but the the whole documentary is about their ridiculous company where they would just punch out all of these like movies in the hopes of selling one of them and trying to get all their money back. And they would do all these weird things like, instead of like normally making a movie, then going to a convention and trying to sell it to resellers or whatever, they would just make a poster of a movie. And then go to these conventions and say, hey, see this poster here? It's a wicked movie. Do you want to buy it? And then if someone bought it, they'd take that money and go make that film. Shit like that. They're real cowboys, and they did a lot of weird shit in the 80s. And there's heaps of people like Richard Chamberlain talking about how in King Solomon's Mines, everyone pissed in Sharon Stone's bathwater because they fucking hated her so much.
Really?
Yeah, he confirms it. Right, it's wicked. It's really good.
That was before she... This is before she did Basic Instinct.
Yeah, that was... And she apparently... He said... by the way, Richard Chamberlain looks amazing now. He looks like fucking Gandalf. He looks... But real handsome.
Yeah, okay.
And it's weird, right? And he's saying, yeah, Sharon is so difficult. And this and
wow.
this. Yeah, it's wicked.
Not that we didn't know it, but it just kind of destroys my...
It does! Yeah. Because we were like, oh, she's so hot. Who cares if she's a bitch?
Yeah,
well,
diva.
Now we care.
Yeah.
So...
I'm too old for this shit.
Absolutely. There's lots and lots of stories in this show, and it's riveting. If you're at all interested in the filmmaking process,
I'm definitely up for this one.
Hollywood, yeah, you would love it. Great show. Electric Boogaloo.
Thank you to Justin for the original recommendation.
Yeah, man.
You could pretty much throw a blanket over my numbers 4 through 2, so this is very difficult for me to organize. They're all 3.5 stars.
Mm.
They're all very good films, which were better than I anticipated.
Okay.
So after umming and ahhing about it, maybe I'll change my mind down the track if I ever rewatch them again. But my number 4 is The Shallows.
Ah!
The new shark film directed by Juan Cole Sierra.
Mm-hmm.
And starring, of course, Blake Lively.
Right.
And a seagull.
Okay.
Because everyone after that is superfluous.
Okay, I see. Interesting. I wondered whether you would see this and whether you'd like it.
And I did. Wow. And I did.
And so, what's the deal? Like, why do you like this movie? Wait, what's it about?
It's beautifully shot.
Yeah.
It is gorgeous to look at. It's... mostly shot on a soundstage here in Australia, but there is a beach off the coast of Australia they use for most of it, but it's meant to be set in Mexico, in a very secluded place.
Right.
And It's never boring. It's only 87 minutes long. She swims out. She goes surfing. She's going to a place that's special to her because this is where her mum surfed when she was pregnant with her. And her mum has since died of some, I think, cancer-related illness, something horrible like that.
Yep.
She swims out and she meets a couple of surfers and they're all surfing, having a great time. She goes out for sort of a last wave and a shark attacks her and she winds up having to crawl onto the carcass of a whale.
What?
And then the film progresses from there.
Wow. She must be out deep.
Yeah, the whale's dead and it's being fed up. So she's wandered into its feeding territory, effectively.
Hence the shark. Got it.
The film itself, if you've not seen the trailer, I'll tell you this.
Yeah.
Don't.
Really? This trailer gives something away?
The trailer gives away one of the best moments, I think, in film, not history, but film of the last 10 years.
Ooh.
Had I not seen this trailer and just watched this film, this would have been a 4-star movie. It dropped a whole half a star because I knew what was coming and I was like, come on, where is it? There it is. Oh, that was good.
Really?
But if I didn't know it was coming, I'd have been blown away.
That's so weird how this happens. Like, you know.
I get it because you want to get people bums on seats to watch the film, and it was a success, this movie. But at the same time, you're giving away the most iconic moment in the film.
And this is why studios get a different guy to cut the trailer than they do to get the movie, because the director would never let his scene, but the other guy's like, we got to give people in here. So, yeah, I get it.
She's engaging. There's a great little interaction between her and the seagull, which she affectionately names Steven Seagal.
No, not bad. Yeah. Not bad.
And yeah, well worth your time.
Okay.
3.5 stars for The Shallows.
All right, a little bit of a surprise for me. There you are. Well, my number three is a comedy which I really, really liked.
Mm.
The movie is called Pop Star, Never Stop, Never Stopping.
Okay. It's on my watch list. Haven't seen it yet.
Oh, good. I hope I don't blow it up too much for you because this is basically The Lonely Island. So Andy Samberg and the two other guys.
Yeah.
And they've made this movie and it has tons of cameos in it, like Usher and people like that. So I didn't know what to expect or really what it was about. So I just picked it up. Basically what it is Andy Samberg used to be in this real cool like trio. We were very popular, like a white rap band or white boy rap band or whatever. And like Beastie Boys kind of, right? And
I know
everyone loves Beastie Boys, but yeah, he then breaks off and he breaks up the band and becomes this massive star like Justin Bieber. He's called Connor for Real. That's his name, right? Justin Bieber has
spelled the way it sounds.
Yeah, with a 4, number 4. What is really great about this show is, first of all, it's funny all the way through. Two, the songs in it are piss funny. They're actually just Lonely Island, not Lonely Island songs you've heard, but they're exactly like it, and they are real funny. And because it's only snippets of the song, it's you get the funniest bit straight away kind of thing, and as it goes through, very, very good. Takes massive shots at the music industry, in particular, TMZ. Have you ever seen that really shitty TMZ video show where it's a, like a cable show or something, and it's the TMZ people around their office, all of their like reporters, and they're just contrived laughing at stuff that they say about celebrities? It's shit. It is shit, right? And this show takes that off completely and gives them the biggest shit ever.
Nice,
it's really good. So there's a really disturbing cock scene in it that is difficult to watch.
Spoilers!
No, difficult? Well, you'll see it coming, so to speak. So, no, you won't see it come. You get it. It's actually, it's really funny, though, the way it's like, oh, God. And yeah, it's a lot of acting involved. But very good comedy. 4 stars.
Wow. Four stars are your number 3.
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing
it. I mean, it's not like 100% perfect, but this was definitely way more than I expected.
4 stars is not 100% perfect, is it? 80% perfect.
Yeah.
By definition.
Well, yeah. In your head. For me, it's just colors and fucking the sounds up here.
A little voice going, do-do-do-do-do-do.
Okay. You're number 3, sir.
My number 3, again, I could change this order, and I'm not at all convinced this is a worse film than what's number 2, but it is the brand new kicking ass, they call it a horror film, Don't Breathe.
Oh!
Directed by Fede Alvarez, who was the writer-director of the Evil Dead remake a couple of years back.
Now, you got along to the advanced screening of this?
No, we didn't. They didn't offer an advanced screening to the likes of us. They offered us free tickets.
Yes,
so I took that up, and you said, no, thank you very much.
That's right, because it seems to be a horror movie. Yeah. Is it a horror movie?
I would...
A scary movie?
It's your definition that matters here.
Okay.
I would call it a suspense film.
Okay.
And it is very suspenseful. It's not scary at all.
Okay.
It wasn't a packed cinema at all. My brother came along with me and saw the flick, and he enjoyed it as well. The cinema I saw it in, I don't know, maybe 50% full.
Mm.
there wasn't a lot of screaming and yelling and shrieking at the screen, which sometimes happens in horror films, even here in Australia.
It was just tense.
But it was tense.
Okay. No, that's good.
It was. And it stars no one of consequence other than Stephen Lang as the blind guy. And this is a film about three youths. I guess they're teenagers or very old teenagers or 20-year-olds, give or take. Because, of course, they're all older than they play, so it's hard to tell.
Yep.
And they break into a blind man's home to steal the payout he's received for his daughter having been killed in a hit and run.
Right.
And this is all over the papers, and they realize that he lives in this, in a part of Detroit, which is apparently a hugely horrendous part of the world to live in these days.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the only man who lives around that area. He's held on, and so they know they can break in and not have to worry about alerting anyone.
Yep.
Except he's way more accomplished at defending himself than they believe.
Wow, really?
And the film does a really great job of making your allegiances shift between the blind man and the youths.
This is not what I expected at all. When I heard about it, I assume this is some paranormal activity shit happening in your house.
That's why it's not a horror. It's more a suspense. And I think you would enjoy this film.
Okay, good. No, I'm actually interested in it now.
Anyone would enjoy this film.
Really?
Look, you got to get past some very... It's very short. Again, the film's only about 88 minutes.
Can only work in its favor.
So, well, from our perspective to a degree, there's not a lot of time for character development. It's probably only 20 minutes before they're in the house.
Okay, yep, I get it.
So we're getting there fast. This does not spend time setting up the characters too much. You get it, though. You get enough.
Okay, good.
As far as I'm concerned.
And it's efficient. Good.
Yep. There are some unexpected moments.
Mm-hmm.
I won't go so far as to say twists.
Okay.
But I will say it does continue to captivate. The what drops it from a 4-star, really, to a 3.5 is a really bad decision to open with a shot, which is a great shot, don't get me wrong, that reveals what happens way later in the film.
Okay.
The film would be much better without that shot.
Okay. Interesting decision then. Okay. Yeah.
And there is also, and we know how much I love a one shot, there is a fantastic one shot once they get into the house as we establish the parameters of the house.
Good. I love one shots too. I know we get a lot of heat, but that is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, the craft is important.
We don't get a lot of heat. We get a lot of heat from one particular person.
Yeah. Okay. We get very little heat.
Because everyone else who has a cinematic bone in their body understands how hard that is to do.
Difficult. Exactly. Yeah. So good. Well,
worth it. My number three, Don't Breathe.
All right. Well, my number two is also a tense movie, but of a different caliber, a different type. The movie is Eye in the Sky. Have you?
Fuck you.
What? You've got it?
Yes, it's on my list as well.
Oh, shit. Okay. Well, this is interesting, then. All right. Well, we should both talk about it.
Well, this is a huge recommendation, then.
Massive.
Eye in the Sky is my number one.
Oh, damn. Sorry, man. Oh, okay, well, this could have been my number one.
This doesn't happen very often.
No, it doesn't.
That we, A, cross over on a last 10 top 10, and B, agree so closely, because this must be a 4-star film for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a 4-star film for me. 4.5, would you go?
I get Mungo 4.5.
Yeah, I can see that.
All right, well, I feel bad stealing your thunder. Tell me what it's about.
All right. This is a film about a joint UK-US effort to destroy a bunch of terrorists who have banded together, largely led by the UK, but with Aaron Paul as the guy who's going to pilot the drone that's going to drop the bomb on the terrorists when the time is right.
Right.
Except the terrorists happen to be too close to a population area, including a family with a young daughter that we are introduced to and get to know through the early parts of the film. So,
sweet little girl.
So your loyalties suddenly become incredibly torn between do we off these bad guys and girl, or do we preserve life? What's more important? And we get opposite points of view through the film, and the film basically presents to you how they go through this decision-making process.
That's right.
And it's heart-wrenching.
Is it ever? And let's not forget, this is Alan Rickman's last film.
Alan Rickman's last film, and Helen Mirren plays probably the main role in the film.
I would say so.
As the British, I'm not sure, she's Colonel General, whatever she is.
She's Colonel.
Colonel. And she thinks she can get these people captured, but then things happen and they can't capture them, so the only option is to kill them.
Yeah. And this is why this movie is good. First of all, I didn't really know anything about it. I just heard it was kind of good, so I picked it up. Fine. Mm-hmm. So the movie itself, I thought it might be... I heard it was about drone warfare, so I thought it was going to be dropping bombs everywhere, this and that. It's not. It's about one missile, one or two missiles in one situation.
Yep.
And all the cool little things like surveillance things, they got a bug that turns into a camera and this kind of shit, that's all really cool that happens in there. It's really, I don't know, it was interesting to me that that was the whole movie and it was engaging the whole time.
It was.
I didn't expect to actually, I thought, maybe if this sucks, I'll turn it off, but I couldn't turn away. Really, really good. And let's not forget, also, Jorah Mormont is in it.
He is playing one of the government ministers in the
UK.
Yep,
and he gets kicked up the line. And I think he just shows both sides of the argument really well.
It does.
And you actually can see both sides and you can see what happens. It's a tiny bit manipulative towards the very end, but I can forgive that.
But I see why they went with that.
I do too.
Because otherwise it would have been manipulative the other way.
Yeah, exactly. No, but this was fucking great. And this is probably, I don't know, man. This should have gotten a bit more fucking press.
I know.
This is
a little,
much better movie than you would think.
I agree with you 100%. I think Gavin Hood is the director of this film.
Now, what do you do? Do anything?
Ender's Game.
Oh! There you go.
And Wolverine Origins.
No, I didn't see that one. Did that one suck?
Piece of shit.
Yeah, studios. I don't know, man.
So, again, I had no interest. And I will totally acknowledge my girlfriend. She was the one that said, let's give this one a bash. And I'm like, I'm sure I'll be bored halfway through it and want to be doing something else. But all right, captivated.
Absolutely. Agree completely.
Yeah, no, this will be in my top 10 films of the year without an absolute shadow of a doubt.
I would have to agree with that.
It's a fantastic film. If you've not seen it and you're at all interested in the kind of genre that we're talking about, please do.
Yeah. Nice.
All right. All right. Well, we're going to be flipping back to you pretty quick after my number two. You're going to have to do... Cool. Your number one, then we'll be done. My number two then is the most horror of all the films on my list.
Wow.
Yeah. What a shock.
No, actually, this is quite late for one to come up, so well done.
Have I had a horror film yet?
I don't
Holy fuck.
This is amazing.
It is the relatively recently released horror film Lights Out, directed by David F. Sandberg, based on an extension of his short film of the same name.
Now, obviously, I heard it was a horror, so I didn't pay any mind to
no
it.
No interest
but
for you.
I had heard of it.
Although, I thought maybe we'd educated a little bit in these ways.
Why not?
A few episodes ago, and I thought we had.
Yeah. No, I think so.
So, I think you would like this film.
Okay, tell me about it.
I think anyone who has any appreciation for a scary / horror film would like it.
Okay.
Basically a film about this entity, this thing that can only do harm to you in the dark.
Okay.
So, if the light's on, you're safe.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, if it's around, lights will short out.
Yeah.
So sunlight, no worries at all. Nighttime is the time it preys, which is very, very simple.
Mm.
And it stars, Tessa Palmer from the abominable Point Break remake is probably the star of the film.
Okay.
Maria Bello is her mother in the film, as well. And really, we get a little bit of a cameo at the start of the film from Billy Burke, he of the Twilight films.
Oh, okay.
So there's not too many big name characters or actors, I should say, in this, but the storyline itself is very intriguing.
Mm-hmm.
Character interactions are well earned. And this was a film where people were shrieking and yelling at the screen.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. It was scary enough. I mean, it wasn't Conjuring 2 level of unsettling.
Okay.
Let's
just
be clear here.
No, that's fine.
But there were some moments of, oh, that's pretty cool. That was a nice moment. And I think all the characters are good. That's what I liked most about it.
Yeah.
That you didn't hate anyone, and there's a token boyfriend character in the film that you want to live. You want him to live.
Okay. No,
which is amazing, because normally they just make him be a bit of an asshole, and a couple of times you think, oh, they're going that way. Here we go. He's dead. And they don't.
Okay.
They don't go that way. They redeem him.
Yeah, that's good. If you like watching the people because you like the characters, then you like the movie. It's an enjoyable movie, so that's good shit.
It does have to make some contrivances so they're in the dark.
Sure.
Which is a bit of a problem, I will acknowledge, with the film. But if you can get past that, if you can swallow that aspect, I think this is a very, very good horror film.
What is your star rating?
3.5.
Okay, cool. No, I would have expected a 4 from that.
I gave 4 stars to the Conjuring 2.
Yeah, no, it's you versus me.
Okay.
Okay, well then, nice one. My number one is a movie I've been trying to get to for some time. It's an older movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's End of Watch.
Oh, wow. Have you never seen that?
I have never seen that
movie.
Yeah,
good flick.
Holy shit, man. This is a good fucking movie.
Yeah.
I don't even know why this also should have gotten more props than it's gotten. For anyone who hasn't watched it, End of Watch is a cop story about two policemen in South Central LA. It's shot in mostly POV format, sort of, kind of. Directed by David Ayer. Now, if I had seen this before Suicide Squad, I would have rushed out more even to see Suicide
and then
Squad.
Even more
and
disappointed.
And then been more pissed off. You know what? Having said that, I can't believe this guy, the guy who did this movie, did Suicide Squad. Mm. I reckon that other movie has been tampered with big time.
Of course it is. We talked about this.
Yeah, it should be called fucking Studio Intervention Squad.
Smell.
Yeah.
The studio interference on that film.
What I actually probably like most about this, really, is that I said before, it's POV kind of. He's, you know, the premise is he's making a movie, and that's why you see all these shots. Having said that, all the shots that appear in the movie definitely didn't come from one of his little cameras.
No.
It didn't. But then the thing is, it makes the deal with you well enough that you don't mind
you
as an audience member.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're like fine with it. You're just getting the most information, and it's really wicked. And then halfway through, they show you the bad guys who are making a movie of their own. They're filming shit as well. So you're getting two sides just like a movie. But it doesn't break the format. That shit is brilliant, son. Brilliant. And all the scenes in it that were even the interplay between Michael Peña and Jake Gyllenhaal, they're making fun of each other's cultures and stuff, really funny. And then the action scenes that happen kind of over and over and over are really enthralling. Even there's a lot of jerky cam and stuff like that. It's still really engaging. And I was amazed how much I liked it.
I can see how that ends up as number one for
sure.
Yeah,
everyone needs to check out End of Watch if you ain't seen it.
Old flick, but yeah, good to get to if you haven't.
Totally.
And we already heard what my number one was. Wayne totally stealing my thunder.
Sorry,
in the format which thunder doesn't often get stolen from. It was Eye in the Sky.
Yeah.
All right, that's our list for today. Of course, there's no honorable mentions.
Nope.
When it comes to a top 10 last 10, so let's get straight on to listener feedback. Starting with good friend of the show and regular contributor Scott L at Surf Mad Scott. The Last Witch Hunter. Vin has to be the worst actor currently. There you go.
Yeah.
Born and Sausage Party, best comedy this year.
Totally on Sausage Party. What do you think of Born?
He said Born wasn't bad.
Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet, so good.
First time contributor, Alex, at @mythoughts_o_e. Last 10 I've seen. Best, Devil Wears Prada, Primer.
Yeah.
X-Men Days of Future Past.
Yeah.
And worst, The Dewey Cox Story.
Oh.
Is that Walk Hard?
Yeah, it is. I didn't mind that one. Everyone else I saw it with hated it.
Piece of shit.
Yep.
So, yeah, not bad at all. I've not seen Devil Wears Prada. Did you see that one?
No, I've actually always meant to see that one, but I haven't seen it.
Fair enough. Thank you, Alex, for that. From Opinionate This Pod at @opinionate_this. The worst so far has been The Village. It's been torture just to get through it. M. Night starting down the road of shitdom. From Three is Comedy, a great hashtag Pod and Family podcast. May sound lame. Favorite is Garden State.
That's fine. No, that's good. That's good.
We're Zach Braff fans around here.
Yeah.
Worst is Face Off.
What? No. Face Off rocks, man. No.
That's from Jason from 3 Years Comedy. Well, you weren't the only one who got a bit outraged at that. It inspired Sherry Martin at Shagalag 50 to come back with, what?
Yeah.
I love Face Off. Those two trying to act like each other is hilarious.
That's right. Most
still
people
a cool
love that
movie.
Show. Fucking A. Nice one.
Then from Mark Fletcher at Varied Deadbeat, last best films, Darkman, Pulp Fiction, Insidious. Worst, Semi-Pro, Jaws 3. I think you talked about Jaws 3 last week.
Shittiest effects ever.
There you go. Then he said, he also forgot to mention Annabelle in his worst list, which I've seen and I thought was terrible. And he said, God, I hated that film.
Okay.
Roy McMillan at RoyMac75, I saw Don't Breathe last night. I thought it was great. Very suspenseful. Trailers gave too much away.
Okay, I'm going to get along to that one because I haven't seen the trailers.
Thanks, Roy. As I just spoke about, it is very suspenseful, and I would agree with you. If you haven't seen the trailers, don't bother. Then from good friend to the show, Shane Moore at Einhornis Finkel, who is one of the hosts of the Cine Bros podcast, he gave his whole last 10. Number 10, Jason Bourne. Least favorite of the franchise? JR, Jeremy Renner, is included in that list. So this was worse than The Bourne Legacy.
Wow.
9, The Shallows. I didn't like it as much as I did, but gave it 7 out of 10. It's not Jaws, but not many movies in general are, he said. Number 8, Kubo and the Two Strings. Beautifully shot, but basic plot and lame ending left me a bit bored and wanting more humor. 7 out of 10, Star Trek Beyond. Fun action film, but not much more than that.
Yeah, I agree with that.
6, Bloodfather. A tad uneven, particularly from the daughter in the movie, but overall well-directed, acted, and the plot was solid. Secret Life of Pets at number 5. Now, here's the one I have an issue with. Mr. Right at number 4. Love the chemistry between Kendrick and Rockwell. It was surprisingly very funny, cool action, and overall a movie I would love to revisit again.
What the fuck? That movie sucked. That was shit. Oh, God. Really? Yeah. Okay. All right. Hey, shit.
Look, we really appreciate all this and the feedback.
No. Thank you for writing
in. And we love the fact that there are people who disagree with us, but I think Wayne and I are on the same page. Mr. Right was not our kind of film. There you are. If you're on the fence, give it a shot because Shane reckons it's worth it. Number 3 was Jungle Book, a film I've been wanting to see. The more I watch this movie, the higher this rating could get.
That movie did crazy business as well.
It did. It's like in top 5 around the world for the year. Number 2, War Dogs. Did you see this one?
No, I didn't. I really want to.
Yeah, you were pretty keen on it. And he has said it's an 8.5 out of 10.
Really?
Chemistry between Hill and Teller was fantastic. Bought their friendship. Loved how crazy and frightening this based on true event story was. And most importantly, never had to check my watch once.
Oh, wow. Is that thing still playing? I want to go see it.
Mm. And number one, we're going to agree with this. Sausage Party, also an 8.5 out of 10, according to Shane. This is the number one out of 10 because I laughed so hard I couldn't breathe. Thank you so much, Shane, for that. That's nice to get a full 10 list. From Darth Sean at DarthSean85, who left us that great review a little earlier, as we spoke about. Recent worst, Suicide Squad. Squandered opportunity, The Mechanic, and Sharknado. Wish I could time travel to stop myself. Recent best, Where Eagles Dare. Kings of New York.
What?
Midnight Special, which I spoke about being towards the end of my list, but in a very strong list. And Star Trek Beyond.
Fine.
Movie Geek Cast at Movie Geek Cast. They just listed, and I'm thinking it's from 10 to 1, but let's see. Sorry, 1 to 10, I should say. Jaws, Face Off, True Lies, Roadhouse, Con Air, Basic Instinct, Don't Breathe, Running Man, Color of Night, Flatliners.
I think he was, it was 1 to 10.
Yeah, couldn't talk. Flatliners is not better than all those
Color
films.
Color of Night, fucking.
Color of Night is no not way, better than man. All those films. No way. Agreed. Ryan versus Frankenstein at Positively Nerdy, Best, Kubo, Don't Breathe, Worst, Event Horizon.
Really?
I thought it was harsh.
I fucking thought it was great, Ben Horizon.
And he did say they're all covered on our new app, but plugging that here would be uncool. That's okay. We've plugged it for you.
Yeah. There you go, man.
From Sarah M. Fetters at Movie Freak Sarah. Just giving her top 10 in order. Number 1, Loving. 2, Queen of Katwe. 3, In Order of Disappearance, which is an awesome film. Oh. I liked it a lot.
Okay.
4, Shelley. 5, The Revenge of Frankenstein. So going back a long, long way for that one.
Mm.
6, The Curse of the Mummy's Tomb. 7, The Two Faces of Dr. Jekyll. 8, 13 Frightened Girls. 9, Mechanic Resurrection. we laughed, Sarah.
At least she got to see it.
Yeah, we laughed because we were going to review it for last week's show and couldn't find somewhere it was showing at a decent time here in Australia.
Yeah.
And number 10, a film I don't know off the top of my head, Tiger House.
I know none of those movies except for Mechanic Resurrection. We have a true indie darling here.
In Order of Disappearance, I would review on a show last year.
Okay.
And I liked it a lot. Just missed out on my top 10 from last year.
Mm.
Jen Hicks weighs back in then. Recently, the worst is Klinger from 2015. Don't know that
one. Another one.
And the best would be The Darkness from 2016. Now, that's a film directed by Greg McLean, who did the Wolf Creek films.
Oh, all right. Cool.
Thank you, Jen. Andrew Kropel at VG Composer. Here's my top 5 last 10 movies. Number 1, Bloodsport.
Awesome.
Number 2, Lord of the Rings Trilogy. Good on you, Andrew, cheating the way I often do there. Number 3, Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Yes.
4, Ex Machina. And 5, The Nice Guys.
Yeah, I like that show. You know, Bridget turned that off halfway through. I know.
So it's not as bad as her not liking Mad Max Fury Road.
I know. I was like, what didn't you like about it? She's like, the joke didn't land. I'm like, yeah, they did. All right, fine.
It's just amazing the way that we sometimes tolerate our girlfriends, isn't it? Totally said in jest, Patsy. Totally said in jest.
Much love, B.
then Andrew continues with his bottom 5. 6, Son of Batman.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of this one. I haven't seen it.
7, Bloodsport 2.
What?
There's Bloodsport 2, I had no idea.
I had no idea too.
8, Gods of Egypt. Interestingly, 9, Star Trek Beyond.
Worse than Gods of Egypt.
And number 10,
no.
2001, A Space Odyssey.
At 10, meaning that's the worst of the ones he saw. Wow.
Wow, Andrew, that's
daring.
Ballsy.
Yes, ballsy. Contro.
Some might say stupid, but ballsy. But that would have to be, what's his name?
Tom Arnold.
Tom Arnold from True Lies. Thanks, Andrew, much appreciated. From Steel Mango Sprite. Get Hard. Freaking hilarious. And I'm fairly confident Will Ferrell does his own voiceover.
A lot of John Mayer in that movie. Really cool.
I've got nothing for you, Steel.
That's right.
Nothing
That's
at all.
That's right.
Then Masturbators_Masturbators, another good hashtag Pod and Family podcast. Worst to best. So starting with the worst. Spider-Man 3. Avengers 2. Batman and Robin. Better than Avengers 2.
No.
Would you rather Spider-Man 2, Secret Life of Pets, Frozen, A New Hope, so Star Wars, Suicide Squad, and then Finding Dory 2 was his best of the lot. And I did ask him about this, and he said, that's because I've got a small child, and all I do is watch his films.
So have said, you seen Finding Dory 2?
I haven't seen Finding Dory 2. He said, 2 of those 10 I picked. So I'm not sure which ones they are. I'm guessing Suicide Squad. Would you rather would be the other one?
Okay. No, yeah. All right. Well, good one. Thank you.
Cadaver Cast, who is a member of our Word Salad Productions Network. Jeff and his son on the show. They review horror films.
Yep.
And they've gone with their top 10 last 10. Number one, Alien. Two, The Guest, directed by Adam Wingard. Yep. Three, Young Frankenstein. Gene Wilder, of course, having tragically
old
passed.
School, yep.
Four, Your Next, another Adam Wingard film, which I really enjoyed. Five, Ricky O. Six, Dolomite. Seven, okay. Boy Named Charlie Brown. Eight, Jekyll Hyde, Together Again. Nine, Monster of Piedras Blancas.
Damn.
And 10, Snoopy Come Home. So I'm all out at sea at those bottom five, but thank you, Jeff, for that. Mackenzie Lambert at MJ Lambert 1. Top five worst. Batman the Killing Joke. There you go.
Yep.
Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. Yeah, I agree. Batman v Superman, The Do-Over, and Dead Rising Endgame. And his top five recent best. I'm not sure whether it's 1 to 5 or 5 to 1, but Resurrection of Jake the Snake. I think it's a documentary about the wrestler.
Okay. All right.
Please correct us, Mackenzie, if I'm wrong. Green Room, The Nice Guys, A Hologram for the King, and Suicide Squad.
Odd list there. Interesting.
It is. And that is the end of today's listener feedback. Thank you to all who got back to us for that.
Okay, well, you know what? Say, Polly, are you a little chilly right about now?
I am a little.
You know what you could use?
What?
A Countdown Podcast t-shirt, bitch. That's what you could use. That's right, folks. We have our own t-shirts now that will come in any size, shape, or color that you wish.
Or form.
Or form, in
Because there is long sleeve, there's short sleeve.
There's chick sleeve.
There's chick sleeve. There's, what do you call it, tri-blend.
Tri-blend, different shit like that. Sizes, everything you need. If you would like to support the Countdown and just, you know, have a t-shirt that I think looks kind of damn cool, one guy talking.
For sure.
Then go to redbubble.com and search for the Countdown Podcast, and you'll find our t-shirts right there. You can pick them up for a song, and you can, you know, help us out, maybe promote us one time. We'll wear it around the streets like that.
It'll
be fun.
Wear them to a festival.
Yeah, do that. And they'll be like, what's this shit?
And while you're there, tell them, mate, not about the t-shirts. Tell them about the show.
Yeah.
We'd really appreciate that. I can tell them about the t-shirts as well. What the fuck?
Exactly.
Tell them about both.
It's all marketing, right?
Yeah, exactly. There's no such thing as, I believe, Wayne, you're the marketer. Bad marketing.
Well, there is, but, you know, hopefully we're not doing it. There you are.
Great. Okay, then. We've got the next couple of weeks lined up for you on the Countdown. Wayne, tell us about episode 77 coming up next week.
Next week, we are going to count down our best cameos in movies. That's cameos from actors and shit and people like that that turn up and actually had a good effect on the movie. That'll be fun.
Elevated.
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 Exactly. It actually adds to the show.
Who stole the show with that little cameo? I think is the way I'm going to go about it. But let's not spoil too much about next week's episode just yet.
Sure.
And then the week after, we've delayed it a little bit because we're trying to get our schedules in sync with this guest. We're having Rick Mancrush from the Poop Culture Podcast coming on the show to help us talk about the best films of the summer.
Yeah. What do we call that? We call it our summer retrospectives.
Yeah. So then when we say summer, of course, we mean northern hemisphere. So for us in the southern hemisphere, it is the winter retrospective.
But that don't sound cool.
Doesn't sound as good as summer retrospective. And that's what we're going to be doing. And tell you about the worst three films from that period and the best three films that were cinematically released.
Yeah.
Right, and we'll have a little bit of a discussion more generally about, was it a good year? Or are we all owed a lot?
Yeah, not that varying, opinions on this one. A lot of people think it might be sack.
Yeah, it was. We'll talk more about it. Let's put it that way. Yeah. All right, great. That's the next couple of weeks on the Countdown. I got to do a little bit of a promotion here because we haven't mentioned them much today. This week, in fact, within a couple of days after this episode drops, I'm going to be appearing on the Epic Film Guys podcast.
Yeah, boy.
Just as having a well-earned week off, and Nick has asked me to fill in his stead. And we're going to be doing a whole bunch of fun shit, including a Lethal Weapon retrospective. So Mel Gibson.
Sounds wicked.
Yeah, he's been on, obviously we talked about Bloodfather today. He's got a new film coming out, Hacksaw Ridge. So we're going to fill that gap in between by talking all about he and Danny Glover in Richard Donner's Lethal Weapon series. And I've watched all four of them of late, and it was a good, fun time.
Cannot wait to hear that one.
Yep, can't wait to get to talking with Nick about all of that. And thank you so much to these guys for entrusting me with their show. And then later, of course, next month in October, Wayne is preparing himself for this as we speak. It is a John Carpenter retrospective on the Epic Film Guys. We're both going to be appearing on their show.
Which means I have to watch John Carpenter movies.
Which you haven't been?
Yeah, one.
He's got like 6 weeks, he says. I got plenty of time.
It's fine. I'll cram them all in one weekend. No, I'll be fine. I'll pick them up.
And then beyond that, for the rest of the year, we are going to have a bunch of other excellent guests on the show from podcasts here, near, and everywhere, and our regular contributors coming on the show as well.
Sure. Okay, everyone. Well, thank you very much for joining us once again on the countdown. Until next week, my name is Wayne.
My name is Paul.
We'll see you real soon.
Cheers.
Okay, here we go. Starting it now. Here we go. All right. Here we go.
Is that the way you start acting with Bridget?
Yes. Fucking whip whip.
Smash bedside light. Sorry.
Oh, good, because I'm making dick jokes on this episode. That's good.
Yeah, Bridget's not here. It's okay. How do we get in contact with us? Wayne.
Ah, well, now,
if you couldn't tell, we forgot to set that bit up. Yeah.
It's all good.
Let me start that again.
Okay. The Recount is our listener feedback segment where we listen to listeners' feedback and shit. Good, because I fucked that up. Okay, let's try again. Here we go.
What did you say? The Recount is where we listen to
listeners' feedback. Really, fuckface? Really?
And shit.
Yes.
And then second to last, from our good friend Dan Valdemoncur at the Media Nerds and Star Wars Nerds podcast, he wrote in and said, love the new segment, which was last week's...
I can't remember it either. Hang on. It was called motherfucking Legend.
Legends, yes.
Urban Legends.
Movie Urban Legends. Let's try that again.
Keep the whole thing. Fuck it.
It's fucking terrible. There's too many segments in this fucking house.
I know.
Who directed this?
This was directed by... I don't know. Hang on.
And there's your this week's instance of Paul asking Wayne questions he hasn't prepared for.
The next three cunts. Hang on. Oops, I wrote cunts.
And I hate to say it, but... No, I'm not going to say it.
No, go and say it.
No, I'm not.
Come on, bitch, say it. Fuck you. I always say it. You say it.
Not this time.
You can cut it later if...
Yeah, I think my issue with it. Oh, I'll say it. I'm going to cut it. So, no, I'm not going to say it because
I'm fucking saying it, you cunt. What are you worried about? You got final cut. Mr. Cutter.
Where's Vinny Bambino? Bambino.
Barbarino.
That's the one.
Say, Paul, are you chilly?
I am a little bit chilly.
You know what you could use? Oh, sorry, cunt. Sorry.